I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you're doing that, I'll just remind everyone that in the information sheet you received, there's a number of items in there. Ladies' tea is coming up very soon, and all the information and sign-up sheet for that is is out in the foyer. And then also, for a number of years now, we have had in our community a Community Thanksgiving Eve service. And this year, our local pastors have put together a service for Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It starts at 7 o'clock, goes to around 8 o'clock. And this year, we've been invited to come to Starting Grounds Church on Parkway. Pastor RJ has invited us to come there. And our speaker, we've invited Pastor Corey Finstad from Bethel Lutheran Church to be our speaker. We have about 16 or 17 churches that are sponsoring this event, and a number of them will be there, and folks from their churches. And so if you can fit it in your schedule, it's a great way to start the Thanksgiving season. And it's great to see folks from other churches worshiping together. Amen? Amen. Amen. So mark your calendars on Thanksgiving Eve if you're able to come. And then also, I want to mention this, and I will be very mindful of the fact that we have little ones in the service, but I just want to mention this. I did it in first service as well, but it was on your prayer sheet, the events in Texas last Sunday. That's part of our prayers for the Lord to minister, and they are having service today there. Probably already had it on a ball field, but the important thing is they're having church. Amen? They're having church. And we have, and will continue to have, very, in my opinion, as best we can here, protocols for safety here. And I met with our security team yesterday for a couple hours. We just reviewed our protocols and tightened some and added a few others because we want to be wise in the things of the Lord, but we're not driven by fear. And so we're not driven by fear, but by wisdom and prudence. And so in wisdom and prudence, I want you to know that even though you can't see them, because in my opinion, if you don't see them, that's best. But we have very strict security things going on, not only in our Sunday school and ministry like that, through any service throughout the week, and especially on a Sunday morning. And so just know that. And if you have any questions about our protocols, anything at all about what we have in place, feel free to talk to me or Eddie, and we can line you out on that. But I just want you to know that so that your heart is assured, because, again, we don't want to act in fear. We want to act in faith, trusting the Lord, but at the same time doing the things that are prudent to do when we gather together. And I'm sure every church has done and will do the same thing. And on a personal note, I want to welcome Ron Habitsetzer here today. He just had four little things put in, and I think he called them his iron chest now. So, Ron, you look good, brother. God bless you. And we're glad you're out of the hospital and doing well. So let's thank the Lord for helping Ron, shall we? Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning for the message. And you'll excuse my voice. I'm going to get some water because by faith this will be a dry sermon. I've got a little frog going on or whatever it is in here, so we'll do my best not to be too distracting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to talk about these passages that Paul writes here. One of the first songs we sang in this building when we came, it's not a contemporary song anymore, it's really an older song now, but it was Shine, Jesus, Shine, written by a man in England, encouraging song about our witness in the world that we live. And it was written a number of years ago, but how relevant it is today. And that's really the basis of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, is Paul's encouragement for the believer to let Jesus shine through our lives. How many believe that's important, right? Yeah. Through the way we react, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we treat others, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really, I think, what Paul was saying here. And if we could put a title on chapter 4, it would be to let Jesus shine through our lives. I want to read verses 16 through 18 to begin, and then we're going to go to some other verses and back to those verses to conclude. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18. He writes these words, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." How many can say amen to that? The outward man is perishing. These bodies of ours were never intended to live forever. They're never intended to last forever. But there is an inward man who is going to last forever. Amen? With the Lord in heaven, spirit in our soul. And I'm looking forward to the day when the Lord gives us a new body. I've put in my order. I'm going to be a combination of Elvis and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm not sure how that'll look, but anyway, that's my order. That could be funny. Verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We're going to come back to that verse, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. Verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There's something inside the believer, the man or woman, teenager, boy or girl, who accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, something inside of them that enables them, him or her, to live different in this troubled world that we live. There's something inside of us. That something is the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit resides inside the believer. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is powerful. How many know He is powerful? Amen? Amen? And there is a presence inside of us, a power, if you will, living inside of us, helping us live out our lives for Christ. For we could not do it on our own. Many have tried and failed. But with the help of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we are able to say, along with Paul, in Philippians 4:13, you've heard it before, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can say that verse with Paul because of that power and that presence that is inside of us. That power, if you will, or that light that's in us, that strength that's in us, we earthen vessels. Now, I want to take you back to verse 7 before we talk about the text this morning. I want to take you back to verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. And I want to talk a little bit about the context that Paul wrote these encouraging words that we just read. Paul calls this presence inside of us, this power inside of us, he calls it a treasure. He uses the word treasure. Look at verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." The earthen vessels he's talking about is our bodies. It is our bodies. Those are the earthen vessels. Some of the translations that you have probably say cracked pots. Either one is accurate. Earthen vessels or cracked pots. So look at your neighbor and call them either one you want. Earthen vessel or cracked pot. It doesn't matter to me. But it speaks of our frailty. It speaks of our humanness. But inside these vessels of earth, because we know we are made of earth. In the Genesis story, Adam and Eve, made of the earth. God breathed into them. They became a living soul because of the breath that he breathed in them, but he formed their bodies out of the earth. And the Bible says that to the earth we will return. And because these bodies were never intended to last forever. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So that the power of God in us can shine, Jesus shine. It can shine forth. And people through these earthen vessels can see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine throughout our life. That's really what he is saying in this verse. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And I thought about this treasure, this power, this strength that we have inside of us that is so important for us as we live out our lives for the Lord. And I thought of some of the particular treasures that we have. As you know, if you get the image of a treasure chest in your mind and you open that treasure chest, there's all kinds of treasures in that treasure chest. There's gold and there's coins and there's jewels and there's just a number of things. And if we keep that thought in our mind for a moment, if you consider these bodies of ours as the earthen vessels, inside of us is the treasure and it has many, many different facets. Let me share a few with you that I believe things that are treasures inside of us that we can use to help shine Jesus through our life. The first one is the treasure of the ability to love. I understand this morning, and I trust that you do too, that in and of ourselves we can love, but we are limited in that love. But when we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can love those who don't love us. We can love the unlovable. We can love beyond anything we can do on our own. Amen. It is a treasure that we have inside of us, this ability to love. Now, it's easy sometimes to love that one that's sitting beside you, your beloved or someone that you think a lot of. It's easy to love them. But let's be frank, let's be honest. Sometimes it's a little difficult even to love those who love us. And I'm not meddling today at all, but we've all been there, right? And we need the Lord's power. But it is a treasure, the ability to love one another. But then the ability to love those who are loveless, the ability to love those who don't love us, the ability to love those who are unlovable, if you will, only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And when we do that, it's letting our light shine before the Lord. Another treasure that we find in these earthen vessels is the ability to forgive. That is a jewel that we need to understand, appreciate, the ability to forgive. You see, in our natural state, we don't want to forgive. In our natural state, we want vengeance. We want retribution. We want to come down on them. We want them to pay the price. In ourself, that's what we want. And yet somewhere, God has put within us the treasure of being able to forgive even those who hurt us, even those who speak ill of us, even those who don't necessarily like us. God, help me to be able to forgive them. Amen. Because that's how God treated us. He forgave us. And so it's a treasure, the ability to forgive comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to help me, please. Even today, I spoke with an individual and asked how they were doing. And they said, well, Pastor, I got to be honest, that forgiveness thing is really, it's really tough right now. And I just put my arm around them and I said, it's going to come. It's going to come. God knows your heart. And right now, you're dealing with other things, but that will come. And when it does, there is a wonderful freedom that comes with forgiving. Amen? A wonderful freedom to forgive. Another treasure, pardon me, in these earthen vessels is the ability to have compassion. The ability to have compassion on someone, not just to walk past them as the priest did in the book of Luke and as the Levite did on the Samaritan on the side of the road, but the ability to stop and to help someone, even a stranger that we don't know, and give them compassion and do what we can to help them. How many know that is something that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen? And that is a treasure. And then we can go on and talk about being kind, as simple as that is. That is a treasure in these earthen vessels. Instead of being mean-spirited, we need to be kind one to another. Another one is speaking encouraging words, to encourage someone, to lift them up, to help them. Are you having a rough day? To encourage them and tell them that things can get better. And those kind of encouraging words that we can give to someone are all treasures. And you can go on and you can add to the list. But these treasures we have in earthen vessels. And the earthen vessel tends not to want to do those things. But when we do them, we're letting the light shine out through them. Earthen vessels, we are cracked. We are broken, we are marred, scarred, and hard by the events in our life. Many times that's what life does to us. It mars us, scars us, and hardens us. But we've got to remember, even with those scars, mars, and harden, the light of Jesus can shine through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, according to the statistics, and these just came out a couple of years ago, they've done many tests and et cetera, but according to the statistics of what people go through from the time they're a child up through their adult life will determine what kind of person they are. And when I first looked at some of these major national statistics that came out on why people do what they do, I looked at that and I thought, there is no reason under God's great heaven that I ought to be here standing at this pulpit preaching to people about being kind and generous. According to the statistics, because of what I've gone through as a child and a young person, etc., I should be the bottom of the barrel. I should be the dregs of society. I ought to be the one with the poorest attitude, the one that has no good outlook at all, the one who's just waiting for life to end. That's the kind of person I ought to be according to the statistics. But I want to tell you, amazing grace, how sweet the sound changes the statistics. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Some of you could say the same thing. Without the gospel, without Jesus Christ in your life, your earthen vessel would be anything but what it is today. But thank God we don't have to be what we used to be. We can be what God wants us to be. Amen. Even though we are scarred and marred and hard by the events in life, we are still earthen vessels. We're still cracked vessels. We're still human. I've never aspired to speak to the House of Representatives in our nation's capital, nor to the Senate. But I tell you, somebody ought to preach this message to those men and women who are serving our country and remind them that regardless of whether they got an R, a D, or an I by their name, they are earthen vessels, and they need to learn how to be kind and compassionate and love one another. Amen. Somebody needs to do that. And so we have this treasure, all these things we've been talking about, in earthen vessels. Look at verse 8 and 9 and 10, please. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. There ought to be something in us that reflects the fact that Jesus died for our sins, and that our bodies are evidence that we are dying. We don't like to talk about that, but folks, the truth is, should the Lord tarry, All of us are going to go to heaven by way of death. We're going to do that. And I know folks get upset when I talk about that, but that is the reality of it. And I tell you, the older I get, the more I appreciate what some of you older than I have been saying. You that are younger, this means nothing to you right now. Because you that are younger, it's like you just took a sip out of the fountain of youth. And life is great and life is good and you can jump higher and run faster and eat what you want to and not worry about anything. But let me just tell you, your day is coming. And I don't say that in a bad way, but that's the truth. I used to be where you are. I am not there anymore. You see, what I've learned, though, and I've learned it from the octogenarians and the nonagenarians and the whatever, the centenarians or whatever, I've learned it from those that are up in years, that though the outward man perish, and it does, there's something inside of those folks that gets younger and younger and younger and younger, and it's like they're young spring lambs hopping their way through the fields because they know they're close to being with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Something rises up within them. And yet Paul said, he said, we recognize that things are not easy. Let's look at this foursome that's aimed at us. If Paul said this in that first century, if things were like this in the first century and Paul was writing, how much more are these things true today? He said, first of all, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Another version says we are troubled on every side. And Paul could say that because he was. He could look in front of him and see trouble. And it was, whether it was Jewish Pharisees or those trying to kill him or the Romans or whatever, he could see it. He could see it on every side. And he lists some of those things in his other writings. He said, I've been in shipwrecked. I've been threatened. I've been thrown over a wall. I've been this and that and that. Trouble on every side. And he could say that. But I'm telling you, we can say that today as well. There is trouble everywhere around us. I heard yesterday on the news, and for those who know these things, there are 17 conflicts going on that they know of right now around the world, sucking up resources to fight those 17 battles that are going on. It's probably more than that. And if all suddenly people begin to love and forgive and have mercy and corruption stopped, that money being spent on those conflicts could feed the world just like that. Just feed the world just like that. But there are troubles all around us. But Paul said, though we are troubled on every side, we are not crushed. Praise God. We are not crushed. Now, in the version, the New King James Version, hard pressed, we can get an idea of that. This is apple cider season, right? And you that press it at your home, you know what that's like. You put those apples in there and you put the lid on and you begin to just twist down and down and down and down and down and crush and crush and crush and crush. And all that juice starts coming out. And how many's ever felt like that's the way your life has been? Come on. You know, I've been in a press and just presses and presses and presses. And Paul said, that's what it's like, but I want you to know we're not crushed. You take the lid off and this apple's popping out. Hallelujah. I'm popping out. We are not crushed. The second thing he says, we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. When I wrote this one last night in my notes, I stopped there because I gotta tell you, I am perplexed about some things. And I got to tell you, you're looking at a pastor who does not have all the answers. There's 1,000 questions about last Sunday that I don't have an answer for in Texas. But I'm telling you this, God has an answer. And what I know is 26 people are with Jesus. And the church goes on. And I may not have the answers to the questions, and neither will you, maybe down here, but this I know, someday we will know and we'll understand. But God's got it now. Amen? Perplexed. There's some things about life, I don't know. I'm perplexed. But he said, I am not going to be in despair over it. And if anything I can say to the church today, a week after the events in Texas, is let us not allow ourselves to slip into despair. Let us rise above that and know that this is an opportunity, as it already has been, for the light of Jesus to shine through. I have never heard more gospel preached on the major news stations than I heard last Sunday. The gospel was going forth right and left and right and left. And who knows how many people got saved because some newscaster let somebody tell about the love of Jesus and the power of God. Amen. Amen. Thirdly, Paul said, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. He could speak from experience. When I was just a young man, young teenager, I was told this by a pastor, or I heard it in a message or something. But he said this. He said, if you're not ready for persecution, I question whether you're ready for the second coming of Jesus. Now, theologically, maybe that doesn't hold muster, but that really affected me. And back in those days, you could virtually find no persecution that we were aware of in this nation. It was always happening in China, or it was happening overseas or South America. It was happening other places, but for the most part, it wasn't happening in America that we knew. Little did I realize that in my lifetime, we would see a drastic change to where today it is almost becoming the common where there is persecution happening in America. That Christians are being persecuted for their faith. If not physically, though that has happened, verbally for sure. That we are becoming what Paul called himself, the outcasts, the offscouring of the earth, if you will. It has happened, persecuted, but Paul said we are not forsaken. I've told this story before, but because I'm old, I can tell it again. And because some of you are my age, you won't remember me telling it, so it just works. But as a young teenager headed toward Portland, you remember the story, in a rest area just south of Portland, you can go there today. I stopped, we were on the way to a youth rally, and I was going to change into my suit. So I stopped, I went in the men's restroom, there were other men in there, I started to change, and slowly those men came out, but what I didn't notice is no other men came in. And all of a sudden I was alone in that rest stop. And I think I was 16 years of age. I was putting on my suit, and I looked through the mirror, and as I'm putting on my tie, in comes two guys about this tall. They had black hats, black coats, and they weren't smiling. And they stood by the door. And then the door opened, and another came in, a man came in, much taller than they. Again, he didn't have a black hat, but he had a black trench coat on. And he came in, and his hands were massive, and he just stood at the door. And no one else came in. No one else came in. And I'm finishing up, and I'm thinking, this is strange. And then all of a sudden, my life began to flash before my eyes. And I turned around and looked and got ready to go out. And the man, the tallest man, looked at me with piercing eyes and said, are you a Christian? And boy, you don't know how bad I wanted to say, nope. But something inside me said, you can't do that. And I said, yes, I'm a born-again believer, I love Jesus Christ, and I'm on my way to a youth rally, and I really need to hurry. And suddenly the tall man reached out his arm, massive hands, gnarled, wrinkled. He came right for my throat, right for my throat, and I froze. And then his hand slipped down into my hand and began to shake it and said, congratulations, I'm a Christian as well. God bless you. Hallelujah. And he said, my name is David Mayo. He says, I was a member of the Hell's Angel motorcycle gang, and I was in a terrible wreck, and I was in the hospital room, and I said, oh God, if you will save my life, I'll serve you the rest of my days of my life. So he said, this is my two friends, and by that time, they're smiling. And he said, this is my method of witnessing. We go into a room, and if someone says no, we stay till they say yes. He said, I know it's unconventional, but it's the way we do it. He said, oftentimes I'll be at a stop walk and I'll just wait with my mangled arm and wait and wait. And some will come and feel sorry and say, can I ask you across, escort you across the street? And he said, yes. And as we step out, I take him by the hand. And by the time we're on the other side, he's either a Christian or when we get to the other side, I don't let go till he's a Christian. Now, I don't advise that evangelism method, but I want to tell you, it was a test, and I could not in myself, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm glad I was able to say yes. Amen? Amen. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And finally, the fourthly, it says, struck down, but not destroyed. And that's the way we feel sometimes, struck down, and yet we're not destroyed. You see, we get up. Another version says, cast down. That has the element of being like a boxer in the ring that goes down for the count and then gets back up. Or a sheep that is cast, that lays on its back and the shepherd has to flip it over, it'll die. It gives the element of that, but we're not destroyed. And that's what Paul says. We're not crushed, we're not in despair, we're not forsaken, we're not destroyed. Why? Because of the treasure in these earthen vessels. Praise God. Now, to close, let's go to verse 16. Let's get back to our text. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. The scars on our bodies prove it. The scars on our minds prove it. The outward man is perishing day by day. But I'm telling you, there is a strength inside us that is being renewed every single day. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Every morning, day by day, that strength assures us. Look at verse 17. Our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When I read that, I said, how dare Paul say that? That's what I said. How dare Paul say, my affliction is a light affliction? How dare him say that? And yet he said it. But before you get upset at Paul, like I was, consider this. He's not saying our affliction isn't heavy. He's not saying that. But it's a comparison. When you compare our affliction to the weight of the glory that we're going to share with the Lord someday, our affliction becomes light because it's nothing compared to what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. Amen. Whatever it is, you and I will have to go through. And heavy it may be, and yet Paul says, calls it a light affliction, is but for a moment because we've got to view it in eternity's vantage point, eternal weight of glory. And then lastly, look at verse 18. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Everything you see around you is temporary. This earth is temporary. This world is temporary. And according to the Bible, this earth will be destroyed someday with fire. We know that. Now, personally, I'm not at all upset about asteroids coming really close to the earth or super volcanoes blowing up and extinguishing all mankind and all that. I'm not worried about that because the Bible already tells us how it's going to happen and we can trust that. Amen? But what I am confident of is that anything that's around us that we can see, one of these days not going to be here, but what's not seen is going to last forever. And that is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the fact that we're going to live for the Lord forever. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Let me read to you Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God. So shine, Jesus, shine. Shine through our lives. Let people see the difference that being a Christian makes. We can either get discouraged about all we see, or we can be encouraged and say, this is an opportunity for Jesus to shine. He can make a difference in our lives. Amen. Let's stand together, please, as we close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that we have of speaking the words of truth out of the Bible today. And if there is anyone here today, we've got a number of guests with us today. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't have the hope of Jesus Christ in their life today, I pray they would just say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in this building has. But help them to just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to become a child of God and have that power inside that Pastor spoke about. I want to be able to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, help them to receive you as Savior and Lord today. Maybe there's someone today that has gotten away from God and they're running from the Lord and they ended up in church today for whatever reason. They're here. Lord, help them to stop running. Help them to turn back to the Savior and with open arms receive the mercy and the love and forgiveness of a Savior who never, never lets them go. Father, help them, I pray, to come to you. God, for those who are following you, many of them are going through afflictions today, and in their heart and mind, they are not light. And truly, they're not. They're heavy burdens they bear. Help them to see, help me to see, that there is a weight coming, and it's called glory, and it's in heaven, and it's going to make what I'm going through today pale in comparison with what God has in store for those that love him. Thank you, Lord. May this be an encouragement to the folks today. Let Jesus shine throughout our lives. God, we give you thanks and we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen. Amen. And we thank the Lord for his word today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.